Ours to Protect, a climate and environmental programme on WLR with Clodagh Walsh.
We are now halfway through the Ours to Protect series, believe it or not. We started in June, and one of the first people that I spoke to, in fact, she kicked it all off for us, was Elaine Mullen, who's a lecturer in health-related social and environmental scientists at CETU. And I'm very glad to welcome her back into studio as we're at that halfway mark. And today we're going to talk about COP28, Elaine. First of all, what is it for people who may not, who will have heard about it, but may not be familiar with it?
Yeah, the title is a little anarchic, COP. It just stands for COP, Conference of the Parties. And this is the 28th time that world leaders have met to try and reduce greenhouse gas emissions and limit global heating. The first one was back in Berlin in 1995. And there are some kind of world famous agreements that have come from others. So the Kyoto Protocol was from Japan, COP3 in 1997. And that was our first international climate change treaty. And then the Paris Agreement, which is spoken about a lot these days, that was COP21. Two COPs ago was in Glasgow. And there was an awful lot of media coverage in that because that was pretty much next door for us. COP27 last year was in Egypt. People were scathing about it because really they didn't end up doing very much at all and came up with very weak agreements on serious topics. So there's there's a big expectation for this Dubai conference. But before it's even started, people have been scathing about it because the president of the conference is Sultan Al Jaber, is himself also CEO of Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, ADNOC. And he has not resigned his post as that. So he is both the CEO of an oil company and the CEO of a conference to try and deal with climate change at the same time. One causes the other.
And I suppose he would say it's better to be in the tent and to try and make change or begin to make change than to be outside the tent.
Yes, and we have to hope that there is some use in that.
Yeah.
because otherwise he's a spokesperson for oil and gas and coal companies, really.
This conference as well comes at the end of a year that's been filled with extreme weather events. As you said, there's a lot expected. Have we any idea what may come from it?
Yes, there's three big issues. The phasing out of fossil fuels, which we all think would be blindingly obvious, but they really only started grappling with that back in the Glasgow conference. The second one is what they call loss and damage or climate finance. And the third one is dealing with methane. So if I go back to those, COP26 was the first key reference to reducing coal over time. And that was hugely contentious at the time, bitterly fought over. And COP27 in Egypt tried to strengthen this and pushed for firmer commitments and targets to actually phase out coal and fossil fuels. But that commitment was actually omitted from the final text due to pressure from oil-rich countries like Abu Dhabi.
And just to bring it a bit closer to home, because the almost 90% of the energy in Ireland is provided by fossil fuels.
Yes, yes. We have very low energy security because we have to rely on imports for all our fossil fuels, hence the need to increase our own renewables and increase offshore and onshore wind turbines, solar farms, all those things.
And also in terms of meeting our own targets, because
yes,
we're not on target to meet our targets.
Absolutely, we're not on target. We're not alone in that. We're also not on target in terms of the nature side of things. Nature restoration law was bitterly fought recently that, you know, it may come up in part of this, but the main focus tends to be on the fossil fuels and the big hitters in this conference.
And what would be your hope for this conference? What would you like to see come
from
it?
Well, I would absolutely hope that this guy, as you said, the insider in the oil gas industry, can bring those countries around. Like Saudi Arabia is a supporter of Dubai in itself. Those kind of countries get on. And Saudi Arabia, again, another huge oil producing country, that they, you know, really come and sign on paper to say that they are going to phase out their operations altogether. At the moment, they're kind of tinkering around the edges. ADNOC itself has announced massive expansion, and this is completely incompatible with greenhouse gas reductions that we need to limit climate change. To go back to the other
yes,
big issue that the COP is going to deal with, it's the issue of loss and damage. The loss and damage caused to developing countries by the developed industrial ones changing the climate, which for them has led to more heat waves, more floods, you know, too much water, not enough water, crop failures and huge food insecurity, and has displaced millions and killed hundreds of thousands. We have to pay those countries for that, because at the moment they're paying out all their available funds just to stand still. You know, just to have enough food, just to keep things going. They don't have the money to put into the adaptation and mitigation steps that they need because they're poor. We do, and we have the money off the back of our industrialisation, which was off the back of our use of oil, coal and gas. So we agreed back in 2009, to have a fund that was 100 billion. And only this year did we actually meet the commitment of actually fulfil that. But we also have to pay them to kind of jump over industrialisation. We cannot let them go through what we did. They need to go straight to green energy. At the moment, they haven't the finances to do that because they're so busy trying to stay alive.
And what's the third point that you made? There was the third part of...
The third part is there's going to be a methane summit at the beginning of the COP summit, which has never been labelled as a separate thing before. Methane is a greenhouse gas. We tend to focus on carbon dioxide, but methane is also greenhouse gas.
And I suppose we think about in this country, we think about agriculture. Yes.
And methane is interesting because it's a far more potent greenhouse gas, but it has a shorter shelf life. It takes tens of thousands of years to break down carbon dioxide, but it takes about 100 years or so to break down methane. So over the space of about 20 years, methane is about 60 times more potent. Over the space of 100 years, methane is about 20 times more potent. So it does actually break down and reduce its potency, but it has a much greater warming impact. So if we could cut methane, in the short term, the warming impact would be far less. And in our country, our agriculture is what produces all the methane.
You know, we'll hear farmers saying that they were told, you know, by successive governments, increase your herd, increase your herds. And now they're being told, decrease.
I totally agree. And they've taken out bank loans and all sorts of things on the basis that they were just adhering to national policy. And now national policy is kind of trying to do a U-turn.
Yes,
and
I
totally
know.
Get where there's coming from. But we still have to
do something about it.
To hope that COP conference won't be a complete cop-out.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by WLR, the IBI, and funded by Comisión na Mban with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie and WLRFM.com for more info.